LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump met with a security team today and also posted on social media that the U.S. now has control over Iran's airspace and call Iran's supreme leader an easy target. The State Department for the first time has issued a do not travel advisory for all of Israel and the West Bank. State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
We remind U.S. citizens not to travel to Israel or Iraq and not to travel to Iran under any circumstances.
The president left the G7 summit in Canada a day early to deal with the Middle East, canceling his one-on-one talks with Ukraine's President Zelensky. Russia overnight carrying out a massive attack on Kyiv and Odessa, killing at least 12 people. Ukraine's leader says one of the victims is a U.S. citizen. The mayor of Los Angeles has lifted the curfew with calmer protests over immigration raids in recent days. And retail sales slumped in May, a sign consumers are pulling back on spending. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Officials from Planned Parenthood say some of their locations in Wisconsin could close if the proposed federal budget bill passes. A measure in the proposed budget would prevent residents from using Badger Care to pay for the services they receive at Planned Parenthood, which could include routine health care or annual checkups. On top of losing that revenue, anti-abortion groups are also still looking for ways to close facilities that provide abortion services after state courts determined that an 1849 law did not ban consensual abortion in the state. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for submitting applications to join the Beaver Management Plan Committee is this week. The agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of an updated beaver management plan. More information can be found on the DNR's Beaver Management Plan webpage, and applications will be accepted until Friday. A Hayward man was taken into custody on Monday afternoon following an armed standoff with law enforcement authorities that lasted more than 24 hours. The Sawyer County Sheriff's Office responded to a call about an armed individual entering an unoccupied residence in the town of Round Lake at around noon on Sunday, leading to the standoff. Authorities say the owners of the home had no connections to the suspect, identified as 62-year-old Michael Dean Olson. Negotiations carried over into Monday afternoon before Olson was taken into custody. Law enforcement authorities say a recent investigation into an alleged assault in Washburn County led to the recovery of methamphetamine and an explosive device. According to court documents, authorities were investigating 40-year-old Jonathan Bryan of Trigo in connection to an alleged violent assault in the county when they made the discovery. Bryan now faces charges of possession of an improvised explosive device and methamphetamine, as well as intimidation of a witness. The Marathon County Bomb Squad assisted in the disposal of the explosive device. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for OKC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Basketball, the Thunder beat the Pacers 120-109 to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. Indiana's Tyrese Halliburton re-injuring that right ankle and calf muscle in the first quarter ended up with only 4 points in 34 minutes of play. The Thunder's Jalen Williams with a career-high 40 points in the postseason asked, was that the game plan or are shots just dropping in for him?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't want to give too much into the game plan, but a lot of it is just me being aggressive, seeing what's open and taking those shots.
Game 6 is Thursday night in Indy. Baseball, the Brewers face the first-place Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. Chicago with a 5.5-game lead in the NL Central. Ahead of the crew, pitcher Colin Ray on the kind of standard manager Craig Counsell has set in the Cubs clubhouse this year.
Yeah, I think he just has the expectations of us doing the little things right, coming in every single day, giving your best effort, holding each other accountable for those things when you step through those doors every single day.
That's Cubs pitcher Colin Ray with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low around 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, isolated storms, and a high near 80. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs mid-80s. Currently at 77.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are working to get State Senator Dora Drake to join us for an update on where the state's biennial budget negotiations stand. I wanted to talk as we await her arrival. As we do that, I wanted to address the fact that the Senate markup of the big, brutal bill is moving. It has been released. There has been closed door negotiations amongst the Senate Finance Committee chair and his GOP colleagues over how far exactly to go in revising the House's version of that big, brutal bill. Again, recall that in the last week and a half, new estimates have been coming out of the Congressional Budget Office, again, a nonpartisan office that is its sole function is to analyze legislation for impacts. New data coming out indicating that these cuts, again, especially to Medicaid, are going to be incredibly severe. Apparently, the Senate markup is looking to expand upon the cuts to Medicaid. It is not known whether or not the Senate Finance Committee chair has the votes to move the markup forward. Again, they're rushing to try to meet a self-imposed deadline of having a bill that has been passed by both the House and the Senate on the president's desk before the July 4th headline. Holiday. There's a deadline. It's not a headline. It's a holiday and the deadline, July 4th. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to talk about a few of the items that have been reported today by Politico that are alterations between the House version and apparently what has been negotiated amongst the Senate Finance Committee chair and his GOP colleagues. First and foremost, the Senate plans, at least the markup as being reported today, plans to dial back the what? Oh, yeah, the tax on tips or the we're not going to tax tips and overtime. Yeah, the Senate wants to scale back that tax break. So a tax break that seems to help working people, but really won't in the end. Yeah, they want less of that tax break. So that is a key piece of that. Again, under the Republican Senate plan, the deduction for taxes on tips would be limited to $25,000, and the overtime cap, again, that tax deduction would be capped at 12,500. Those are lower caps than what the House version of the bill would have permitted. He's also talking about phasing out the green energy tax credits more slowly than what the House version proposed. There are rumblings that a few GOP senators are not pleased with that. Again, these are razor-thin margins in both the House and the Senate. Recall as well that some GOP House members said, oh, I didn't get to read the whole bill, and I wouldn't have voted for it had I been able to read the whole thing, because it includes things like Congress saying they won't legislate artificial intelligence for a decade, because I'm sure that'll work out well for all of humanity. Elsewhere in the bill, again, this is the Senate markup version of the House's big, brutal bill. It looks like he is also planning on lowering the tax on university endowments. There was a new tax that was being proposed. Again, all part and parcel of Donald Trump's attacks on higher education writ large, whether that is by cutting grants or attacking the universities directly. The House version had proposed a 21% tax. The Senate version maxes that tax on university endowments out at 8%. It is unclear in the Senate markup to date whether or not the $4 trillion tax cut plan, again, the bulk of that benefit going to the highest earners in the United States, the billionaire class, the top 1%. It is unclear at this time, based on reporting from both Politico and now The Hill, whether or not that Senate markup preserves all of the proposed tax cuts for mega corporations and the ultra, ultra wealthy that the House proposed. So this is a space to watch. They are on, again, this incredibly tight self-imposed deadline. One Democratic senator, Ron Wyden, said this about the Senate markup. Quote, this is caviar over kids and Mar-a-Lago over the middle class. Senate Democrats are going to fight this with everything we've got. All of this has to be taken in the context of some recent polling. KFF, this is the Kaiser Family Foundation, released polling today that reported that 70, and again, this the first KFF poll on Medicaid was done about a month and a half ago. It reported that 77% of Americans support Medicaid. The KFF poll that was published today, that was out in the field over the last 2 weeks, give or take, that number has gone up to 83%. So what's different between now and, say, 2 months ago? Well, the big brutal bill itself and the fact that Americans are getting wise to the scam. Nobody wants to be the mark in a con. Nobody. It doesn't matter who you voted for. Nobody wants to have their pocket picked so that Elon Musk gets a bigger tax break. All right, I'm going to call that rich people welfare. Why are we giving welfare to rich people who don't need it? I don't understand that. So this change in the KFF polling data, I think, is remarkable. Americans, we're figuring it out. We don't want to be suckerized by the Trump administration. We don't want to be suckerized and made the mark in one of the world's longest cons by the current MAGA regime, whether that is in Washington, D.C. or in our state house. 77% to an 83% approval rating for Medicaid, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation polling. That is remarkable, and I think something that deserves our attention. This, in part, I believe we can show as part of this whole, including the No Kings protests. Now, we were talking a bit about the No Kings protests from this past weekend with Mayor Johnson in the last half hour of this fine program. If you missed any of that, don't worry. You can catch all of our old programs at civicmedia.us or on Apple Pods or Spotify Pods. We were talking about the No Kings protests, and I shared with the mayor this theory amongst political scientists that, again, if you get 3.5% of a population participating in a movement, that movement will then impact the government. That's kind of the litmus test. We have hit that number since Trump 2.0. That is where we are at. And I would respectfully suggest to you tying in yet another element of what has been this last week and a half of news, that not only are Americans getting wise to the fact that this is the reverse Robin Hood bill, it's the murder bill, it is the brutal bill that is going to take from middle class and working people and give to the ultra wealthy. They're getting wise to the fact that nobody actually wants this. People are in the movement now. We are paying attention. And so part of what you will see is when protesters start to hit those key thresholds, it means the movement, the resistance is making a difference. And I think, my opinion, is that one of the reasons you are seeing the deployment of National Guard and active duty Marines is because Donald Trump, either consciously or otherwise, but certainly the people around him, know that the resistance is real. It is happening every day. And when you hit those threshold markers, like that 3.5% rule, the government will respond with force. And that is precisely what you are seeing. Donald Trump is trying to normalize this. He's priming the pump to send troops into blue cities. Why? Because the resistance is real, it is here, and it is happening every day. And I've just the woman to talk more about that with. We've got Senator Dora Drake, the amazing senator for the Senate District 4, covering big chunks of the city of Milwaukee and north and west up of the city. Welcome back to the show, Senator Drake. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Maggie. It's always good to be back.
Oh, and it was so lovely to see you last week as well. What a nice surprise.
It was. That was the first time we were able to meet one-on-one. So it was great to meet you in person that way.
I like to say in three dimensions and not on these screens together. Let's just start with the state equivalent of the debate that's raging in D.C. What is your understanding of where we stand on the biennial budget process and what is coming next?
Good question. I think that's a question all of us are asking. So obviously joint finance has already stripped many things, you know, from what the governor proposed. And when I say members of joint finance, I have to say Republican members. I think the second day, like the very first meeting that they had for budget, you know, discussions and removal, they removed things on childcare, they removed things on Medicaid expansion, and even funding for our Black Historical Society Museum. So all these things, if you're talking about just basic needs that people need to safety, and frankly, what it means to celebrate our diverse, you know, culture here in the state of Wisconsin, it's a problem. And I think what's happening nationally should put us in we should be moving in a position where we're trying to provide some of those gaps, you know. And so right now we are still looking to see what members of the Joint Finance Committee will do. But it's unfortunate that they continue to strip out budgetary items that would ensure that every Wisconsinite gets the needs that they deserve.
Folks, that's State Senator Dora Drake from Senate District 4. I want to ask you, there was an incredible hearing yesterday in a federal district court in Massachusetts that's involved the NIH grants. And a Reagan-appointed judge basically said what Donald Trump is doing with all of this anti-wokeism is itself racism. It is itself discrimination. It is itself suppression of speech rights. It was pretty stunning language. I haven't heard something like that with that level of clarity from a judge yet. What was your immediate reaction? We got about 30 seconds, and then, of course, we'll have you back after we take care of some messages.
My initial thoughts are it's the truth. You know, a lot of these things, it is designed to go after those that have been marginalized, after Black and brown communities, and honestly, those that have just been disadvantaged. So it's not even just based on race. It's also based on class, too.
Yes.
So we're seeing that activate in many ways throughout these midterms.
Folks, we're going to work to get the senator clear so you can hear every word she's got to say, as well as mine. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We're going to discuss a bit more about Donald Trump's discrimination about discrimination when we return here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be going to the phones after the bottom of the hour, so get your questions and comments ready. Is Donald Trump about to strike Iran? Are we getting sucked into another forever war in the Mideast? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Right now, we are privileged to be joined by State Senator Dora Drake of the 4th Senate District. Again, welcome back to the show, Senator. It's a pleasure to have you. You are chair of the Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus, and you all just hosted your annual Juneteenth celebration today at the Capitol. My, it was warm. I hope there was plenty of water for everyone. This year's theme is Voices of Freedom, Justice in Motion, Leading with Purpose. Tell us a little bit about what that means for you and the caucus, but for the broader community of Black and Brown folks across the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So one, it was a great event. You know, we always love hosting leaders from across the state to come and not just participate, but we really get to showcase the work that's being done. And we were intentional this year about what our theme would be because, again, there are attacks and diversity, equity, inclusion. There are efforts by, you know, the Trump administration to take us back. But it's important that we acknowledge
the efforts of freedom that we have been pushing for and still fighting for, because we're here. And we didn't get here alone. We had people that have gone before us that have fought for the issues that we've dealt with. And in celebrating Juneteenth, though we honor and celebrate, you know, the folks that were enslaved, that didn't know that they were free until, you know, the last of soldiers came to Texas to share that. But it truly is not only just a celebration, but what it means to move in purpose of fighting for the things that we care about and uplifting the voices that push for freedom. And so we were able to have two keynote speakers lead, and we were really excited because the first, and we had Racine Judge Jamie McClendon, who was the first Black judge to be elected in Racine County, as well as Shondell Washington Spiffy, who is the first Black mayor of La Crosse. So you would think, even to this day in 2025, that we still have firsts. And it's important that we not only highlight what they're pushing for, that we uplift what it means to push for freedom despite the obstacles, despite the barriers, despite the attacks that are happening today.
So important. And I still struggle when I hear this is the first Black fill-in elected office, or the first Black female fill-in thing, CEO, elected official, whatever it may be. I wanted to ask you just to reflect on that a bit, Senator. I view Black women as basically the center of almost all movement universes. And what I mean by that is Black women have stood and led every single substantial civil rights movement in this country, whether they enjoyed the right to vote or not. Black women's organizing skills and advocacy skills, none of the civil rights movement would have happened without Black women. And yet we still see Black women frequently not ascending to these highest levels. This state has yet to see a female chief executive officer. The city of Milwaukee has yet to see a female chief executive officer, especially a Black female leading in these ways. Can you speak to what you see from your perch as a state senator and a leader in the legislative Black caucus about whether or not we are really respecting the work and contributions of Black women in political movements and in this political moment?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. And I say it's loaded because it's nuanced. And I'll say that for myself, because as a leader in my own right, you know, we choose to lead because we know it's the right thing to do. We either got involved because we saw, something happen to our parents. For me, it was what I saw happen to folks in the criminal justice system and not being treated fairly or poorly, whether it was based on race, discrimination, outcomes, so many issues, poverty. But to your point, every movement, if you look throughout our history, has always had a Black woman, you know, leading the charge. And some of them didn't get their flowers until years later. And so this larger conversation of, if we give our due flowers, we need you better. You know, I think that's the short answer. But the longer answer is, we have an opportunity to do that. So right now, especially among the talks of saying that diversity, equity, and inclusion is reverse racism, I would argue that you have African-Americans or anyone in that capacity that truly has moved forward just based on their own merit and wanted the opportunity to do great things. And these programs were established because so many things were closed off to us over years. So some of the things that are happening nationally and how it will impact here, the TRIO program and Upper Bound programs, those are programs that would be cut under the big, I say, ugly bill. And that's something where it provided financial resources and support for first generation low-income students, and I'm a product of that. You also talk about our supplier diversity program, which was to ensure that Black and African Americans had access to procurement opportunities. And that's something that is not being challenged. And so as a Black woman, we don't get our due flowers, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. But it is time that maybe we need to shift around some things.
I think you should get your due and more of our thanks, more of our honoring your work and contributions. That is State Senator Dora Drake of Senate District 4. Happy Juneteenth to you, my friend. And I appreciate all your leadership and work and movement. I'll be back, folks. We're going to talk about what's happening in the Mideast next. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Radio Network, 855-752-4842. That's 855-CIVIC. Join us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is accepting applications for the Shooting Range Grant Program. The program seeks to provide financial assistance for safe and accessible firearm or archery recreational shooting opportunities. The grant funding has previously been used for things like renovating backstops and constructing indoor ranges. The DNR plans to disperse $600,000 among grant recipients. Anybody interested in the program must contact DNR officials before submitting their applications by July 15th. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin's office has confirmed that she appeared on the list of names authorities believe were additional targets of the man charged with shooting two Minnesota state lawmakers and their spouses. The alleged shooter surrendered to authorities on Sunday following a two-day search. He was charged with two counts of murder and two counts of attempted murder on Monday. Law enforcement authorities say there were 70 suspected targets on the list, including 11 Wisconsin lawmakers. The identities of the other 10 are not yet known. The Spooner Area School District Board is considering a unique solution to persistent budget issues and staff shortages. At their meeting earlier this month, district officials said they're looking for ways to share teachers and administrative staff with other school districts in the area. Current discussions involve sharing four positions with the Northwood and Shell Lake school districts, including a physics teacher, finance manager, and director of pupil services. Their hope is sharing staff resources will ease some of the budget issues facing all three schools. A Minnesota man accused of stealing a trailer from a Rice Lake business by posing as a contractor is set to appear in Barron County Circuit Court on Wednesday. According to court documents, 56-year-old Olaf Beckman is facing up to 10 years in prison and a $25,000 fine on charges of felony theft, false representation. Beckman is accused of claiming to be a Honeywell contractor in February before stealing a trailer from Pete's Trailer Sales. The owner of the company reported the fraud in April, and Beckman was officially charged earlier this month. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lilo and Stitch has finally been dethroned, and there is a new box office champ. How to Train Your Dragon was number one this past weekend with a whopping $83 million. The film brought in another $115 million overseas for a total of about $200 million worldwide. Universal Studios has already given the go-ahead for a live-action sequel. Lilo and Stitch still managed to come in second place in its fourth week with $15.5 million at the gate. So far, PG movies are king this summer as How to Train Your Dragon joins the Minecraft movie and Lilo and Stitch as box office titans. According to Variety, PG movies have generated almost half the box office take for the year to date and crossed over $1.5 billion. Coming in third place was A24's Materialists. The rom-com for adults brought in $12 million, exceeding expectations by a couple mil. And it's all about action for the final two films in the top five, which include Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, and John Wick's Ballerina. Dead Reckoning has made over a half a billion worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy for tonight, a low around 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, isolated storms, and a high near 80. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs mid-80s. Right now it's 78 degrees.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. More stories coming out after the fall of Roe versus Wade. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Everybody, welcome if you're just joining us, and a happy Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're staying cool out there across the state of Wisconsin. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us this afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's talk about the Mideast. So much happening at this hour. Let me just start with the breaking news, and then I'm going to backtrack and give some context so we can understand what is happening. The Wall Street Journal and other outlets are reporting that Donald Trump is considering a potential U.S. strike against Iran. He met with top advisors in the Situation Room at the White House on Tuesday. Earlier today, he had said also on Truth Social that he knew the leader, the location of the country's leader. Here is the tweet from earlier today. It's not a tweet, actually. It's a Truth Social post, but whatever. You know what I mean. He said this: we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. I don't know what that sentence means, by the way. He is an easy target, but safe there. We are not going to take him out. Kill, exclamation point, in parentheses, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Who's the you there? I don't know. And then moments later, tweeted or Truth Social posted, unconditional surrender in all caps, exclamation point. Now, if you weren't following this closely, Donald Trump left the G7 summit that was happening in Canada early. At the time, saying he wasn't trying to work on a potential ceasefire, but was working on something, quote, much bigger than that. And when he was asked to clarify, Trump said he wanted an end, a real end, not a ceasefire. This is weird, okay? The White House has said over the past couple of weeks and recently, yesterday, that the U.S. isn't going to join Israel's attacks on Iran. The reason that the White House has had to clarify that is that Mideast watchers have noticed a buildup of U.S. military in the region over the last weeks. This includes a third Navy U.S. destroyer that entered the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, as well as a second U.S. carrier strike group that is headed towards the Arabian Sea. You know, that sure looks like military intervention readiness. And the tell-all of tell-alls, and this is the interesting one, is, of course, I've been on the phone to some of my friends that work in foreign policy, because I had heard rumblings that there had been an administration directive to basically empty out U.S. embassies except for essential personnel across the Mideast. I have had that confirmed by a couple of sources that work in the State Department. So, yeah, when you know that there is about to be an attack or some wider scale military conflict, you will clear out non-essential personnel out of your embassies in the region. That has been going on for the last couple of months. And then yesterday, Donald Trump tweeted out, or again, truths, I should call it truthed, a number of things about Iran, stating Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon in all caps. They should have signed the deal I told them to sign. What a shame. I said it over and over again. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran. That was yesterday. So again, this is the Wall Street Journal and other outlets reporting that it appears Donald Trump is continuing or is newly considering a potential U.S. strike in league with Israel against Iran. Also breaking news today, the big question always in Iran when it comes to nuclear capabilities is that Iran reportedly has this underground facility. It's basically under a mountain. And, you know, how do you blow that up? If you don't successfully blow that up and basically make it an unusable facility, you will not destroy Iran's nuclear capabilities. And that in it is in and of itself a problem. Well, the UN Atomic Agency is reporting that an Israeli strike may have, in fact, hit the underground, quote, halls of this large enrichment facility. Again, so much to unpack here. 855-752-4842. And remember that Donald Trump, as late as just a few weeks ago, had repeatedly said in public and to Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, directly that the U.S. is, we want to help negotiate the ceasefire. This is what we're doing. Let's put this deal structure together. And had, in fact, warned him not to engage in a military intervention in Iran. Israel took that advice from Donald Trump and flushed it down the toilet and then began a military strike campaign against Iran. We are now at quite a precipice as a world. Remember that Donald Trump, during his first term, pulled the United States out of the 2015 nuclear deal to keep Iran from gaining weapons capacity that President Obama had struck. Are we now going to war, on the precipice of going to war with Iran? And again, keep this in the context of J.D. Vance is a staunch isolationist, and Donald Trump largely ran on an isolationist platform. But we're going to war with Iran? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text and phone lines are open. What do you make of this? Good idea? Bad idea? Does Donald Trump even have a grasp of what's happening? Who's in control? 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, how you doing? And what you got for us this afternoon?
Not very well. This is like, he is treating this all like a big game, like fun. He's just so incompetent and out there. I don't know. Isn't there something you cannot target? Are they, is it just like tradition and respect for the others to not target leaders, heads of states?
Heads of state have generally been considered off limits. That is a long normative tradition in basically rules of engagement, except it's not a rule. It's just what's not done, Annie, to answer your question.
I mean, this guy is, I mean, like I say, he just thinks it's, oh, this is fun. Let's do this. Oh, this will make me look big. He's crazy. And
let me ask you this, Annie. Do you remember the movie Wag the Dog?
Pardon?
Do you remember the film Wag the Dog?
Oh, yes.
Right? When you have a political crisis of epic proportions, quick, start a war and distract everyone over here. I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but if your big brutal Bill might be heading towards either adoption against the great majority of Americans' opinions. Your polling is the worst it has ever been. You're deploying the military against citizenry. There have now been political assassinations. Gee whiz. What I wonder would distract everyone from what's really going on as the reverse Robin Hood murder brutal bill moves through the Senate. I don't know, a war in the Middle East? Richard from Waukesha, your thoughts this afternoon, sir.
I got three things you need to think about. The power in the gas industry in America is kind of Bushized on the bench. And politically, and if you make them weak on nuclear, they lose stature in the world, in the economy. With energy.
Here's the thing, Richard. In the last, basically since I've been on the air, since 4 o'clock, gas and oil prices are spiking worldwide because of the prospect of an expanded war in the Middle East, in Iran involving Israel, potentially the U.S. involvement. So the oil companies, they're going to do just fine. You know, like in war, there's a few group of winners that do really well. And the gas industry is usually one of them.
Except that the profits for the American companies, the political welfare for them is in the cheap processing of it to transport it to the West.
Yes.
There's where their profits are.
Yes. The cheaper the processing, the higher the price, the greater the margin, the bigger the profits, and so on and so forth. I hear you, Richard. Matt from Middleton, what you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Maggie. Thanks again for what you guys do. My opinion is that Trump is doing this to stay in power. Violence and chaos gives him all the reason to declare martial law, get the full dictatorship. He has it out for Iran because they wanted to assassinate him, but no, I'm sure Iran's not the only people that would like that. But yeah, it's like Netanyahu, same thing. Stay in war just to avoid jail, stay in power. So yeah, it's going to be a very crazy summer.
Yeah, I hear you, Matt. It feels very wag the dog to me. It just does. A bunch of more breaking news on the Iran question. First, Washington insiders are reporting that DNI Secretary Tulsi Gabbard is threatening to resign if President Trump orders the U.S. military to join forces with Israel in their strikes against Iran. She was apparently shut out of emergency cabinet meetings that were convened Sunday night after Donald Trump left the G7 summit in Canada. That is a big freaking deal, everyone. Iranian state TV is now warning of a, quote, major surprise, end quote, expected tonight, one that Iran is claiming the world will remember for centuries, end quote. This is not, I mean, Donald Trump's truth posts, this is escalation of conflict. This is, we are on the brink of potentially significant military involvement by the United States in Iran. We're going to continue to take calls. The text lines are blowing up too. We'll take all of your calls and texts when we come back. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Anybody concerned that Donald Trump has no grasp of the ramifications or what is now occurring? I'll share some of him, you know, applying his keen intellect to the delicate matters of foreign policy when we come back. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Does the U.S. stand on the precipice of war with Iran? Does the world, are we as a global community looking into the depths, into the possibility of a potential world war? China providing directions now to its citizens to exit Iran immediately. Apparently, Iran has posted an incredibly threatening video, basically threatening the elimination of Israel from the map. This is escalating extraordinarily quickly, and Donald Trump seems to be not the one trying to de-escalate matters, but indeed the one fanning the flames, feeding into the escalation, not serving as a check against a potential conflict that could drag the world into it. Incredibly dangerous. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I just want to say this. The chaos that we are seeing inside our own country, as those that are qualified, good faith, government employees leave service, as others to the tens of thousands, potentially hundreds plus thousand, are forced out. As those that are not promoted due to merit, but due to loyalty, as chaos and incompetency reigns within U.S. trade policy, U.S. domestic policy, immigration policy, as the government under the Trump administration turns away from looking at what are the actual results and focus only on the rhetoric and speaking to their base, you see our nation fraying and fracturing. The same is true on the global stage. The U.S. is not the hegemonic trusted actor that it always has been. We are lessened. And the world's bad actors know that when the U.S. is weak, it is opportunity for them. Are we witnessing, within months of Donald Trump taking office, that very fact playing out on the global stage? Dave from Chicago, greetings, sir. What do you got for us this afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. I really appreciate your show. It's very informative. I'm afraid that we may be on the precipice of war with Iran, and that it'll be a huge mistake. Trump showed in his first administration that he didn't know what he was doing when he walked away from a perfectly good treaty with Iran, saying he was going to get a better deal, and he never did. And now he's looking terrible in the polls, and this may be a case of wag the dog.
Yep, that is what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it unfortunately looks to be. I mean, he walks away from the G7 meeting yesterday, and it just appears to be chaos. And I don't think anybody listens to this man, whether it's Bibi Netanyahu or Vladimir Putin or any country, because they can't take him seriously. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't. Thanks so much, Dave from Chicago. Appreciate you. If you're a first-time caller, you go to the front of the list. If you're a veteran, you go to the front of the list. If you are a conservative, you go to the front of the queue, 855-752-4842. Not only is the man incompetent and sort of a chaos creator, he flip-flops. It's Taco Trump. It's, you know, he's a chicken. He's going to chicken out. He can't follow through on policies because he doesn't understand them when he articulates that. And when you put that into geopolitical terms, when you scale that up into global sovereign actor conflicts, where do you think this leads? I mean, my goodness, run the tapes of Kamala Harris throughout the entire campaign, warning us that this man who promised us isolationism, who promised his base that we would be spending less on wars, who's threatened to cut off funding and intelligence sharing and weapons grants to Ukraine, is now dragging the United States with apparently glee and zest into potentially what? Another forever war in the Mideast? Thanks to Tim from Wales, Cam from Appleton, Mark from Prairie du Sac, whole bunch of folks on the text lines right now. I appreciate you bringing us some of this breaking news, and my senior producer, Jamie, telling me that representatives, U.S. Congresspeople, Massey and Kano Rokana, have introduced a bill today. This is a bipartisan bill called the War Powers Resolution to attempt to block Donald Trump from dragging the United States into a full-scale war with Iran. At the same moment that that is happening, Senator Lindsey Graham, in, I don't know, some sort of delusional rapture state on the floor of the Senate, telling his colleagues and the American people that the young men and women in the U.S. military absolutely signed up to go to war against Iran, with Israel, to ensure that the Ayatollah does not have nuclear weapons. I don't know about that, Senator Graham. Not sure that that's what they all signed up to do and that everybody supports that. I would doubt that very specifically. Jim from Appleton on the text line says this. And I'm paraphrasing here. Apologies, Jim. This is the Christian nationalists the extremist Christians in this country's objective. War in the Middle East, Jerusalem made whole, the nation of Israel running from the river to the sea. It's the second coming of Jesus, as promised in Revelations. I certainly hope not. Tom from New Berlin, all the rest of the folks on the text lines that I didn't get to, my apologies. Watch this space. I'll be back tomorrow. Of course, we've got another ream of great guests. We're working on a Mideast expert because, holy cow, the news moves fast, but not as fast as I do. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
Listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel facing another round of missiles launched from Iran. Air sirens sounding for a fifth night. ABC's Louis Martinez says the majority of those missiles have been intercepted by Israel's air defense systems.
One of the things that we're learning this time around is that it's about an 85% success rate against incoming missiles on the part of Israel. During the last two episodes last year, what we saw was almost a 95 to 98% success rate in bringing down some of the Iranian missiles that were headed towards Israel. This time around, about 15% of the missiles that have been launched have gotten through, and some of them are creating damage, as we've seen, and some of them creating fatalities.
President Trump is calling for Iran's unconditional surrender. An appellate panel is weighing arguments in President Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Los Angeles. The Trump administration asking to reverse a lower court's order returning power of state troops to California's governor. And stocks ended lower due to concerns over economic uncertainty. This is ABC News.